boxes on the hillside.
Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So, Florida sellers lie to buyers and face 20 years in jail. That is a headline worth talking about.
Yeah. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the story is about a family that had a sinkhole. They got insurance money in the tune of like 150-something thousand for it, and then put the home up for sale. I don't know, covered up the sinkhole. I don't know what you do with a sinkhole.
Yeah.
Sold it, and then, of course, the new buyers found out about the sinkhole because, I don't know, maybe the house was falling into it. And they're facing, you know, 20 years worth of jail time. You can't lie about things. You can't cover them up. As you know, real estate professionals, we have sellers fill out seller's disclosures. And when you fill out a seller's disclosure, you have to answer those questions honestly and you know, truthfully and to the best of your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's done to protect you so that there is no dispute as to what you knew and what you didn't know. So, you know, I tell everyone, just be very honest as to what the situation is. If there's something bad, tell them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find out about it later. And the last thing you want is, you know, to be faced with a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Let alone jail time.
And, well, this particular case, not only did they lie to the buyer, but they also lied to the insurance company, so.
Right. There was fraud all over this one. And
it's
a bit extreme, but I've had smaller incidences where, you know, the buyers have gone after the seller after the fact and felt that the seller knew of certain things.
Okay. So Ben Franklin being invoked here, honesty is the best policy because it'll all come back to bite you.
That's right.
Some new rules to help lower and moderate income applicants qualify for mortgages.
Yeah, this is an interesting concept. Basically, Steve, you know, you'll have in today's world multi-generational families living together. And, you know, let's say you have a young couple. They're the ones earning the income, but you have, you know, grandma and grandpa living there, and they have income from Social Security or wherever they draw their income. They're now going to allow, they're calling them non-borrower household members, where their income can be used to qualify for a mortgage.
I see.
Which is actually kind of interesting. You know, I think it's a good idea, but it has to be honest. You can't lie about it and, you know, say they live with me and then they don't and then they stop making their contributions or, you know.
Yeah, so this is for legitimate purposes. If you, in fact, have other members of the family living in your home, you can use their income to help you get a mortgage.
Right, and it's not unusual to see this in today's world, multi-families, multi-generational families living together.
Yeah, so are you, when are your kids moving in and you're going to use their income?
I hope they have income.
If they had any income. All right, so what's your home worth? Not as much as you think? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, Steve, a lot of the sellers have grandiose ideas of what their home values are. They read in the newspapers, it's a seller's market. You read things, you know, the median price home has gone up 15%. Well, that's median price, not average price. So they do their own calculations, and then they'll go on to third-party sites like Zillow and other places that, you know, a lot of times the information is just outright wrong. So they have high expectations, false understandings of what their home values are. They're pricing them high based on another neighbor who priced their home high.
Yeah.
And if you look at the, you know, what's actually for sale and what's sold, Steve, it's only like 20% of what's on the market actually sells.
Oh.
And what's the difference between what sells and what doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Price.
Yeah, price.
Price, condition, location, of course, but the overall value. Buyers are very savvy. They're not going to even make an offer on an overpriced home. So there's a lot of people out there that think their homes are worth more than they really are.
I always thought that, you know, you should offer your house at a high price and a buyer will come in and start negotiating, but it actually doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't, because today, you know, everybody's in their pajamas on the computer doing their home search. They're looking at your home. They're online. They're seeing your home, but they won't come out to look at your house until you're in that zone.
Yeah.
that realistic zone. And believe me, they're more educated than you are because they're spending multiple hours shopping online.
Mm-hmm.
And they know a good value when they see it, or fair market value.
Yeah. So they're looking at the comparable homes for sale in your location, and then they're looking at the actual homes sold, and that's really where the market is.
That's right. And, you know, if you have a professional real estate agent come out to your home, they'll give you a real honest assessment of what your home is worth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So wishing will not make it so.
Exactly.
Okay. Is there any indication that this real estate market, which is, I think, pretty healthy in general right now, is going to stay strong in the years ahead?
You know, experts are saying they're anticipating at least 3 more years of favorable real estate conditions,
mm-hmm.
with the overall housing market projected to continue to expand at a steady level through 2017. That's according to the Urban Land Institute Center for Capital Markets and Real Estate.
So if you're investing or you're thinking about investing, if this is correct, then it's probably okay. The timing is probably still okay.
Exactly. And you can see the trend. I mean, look around your area. See what's going on. Do you have construction taking place? You know, if you see not a lot of help wanted signs all over the place, that's an indication that your immediate economy and everything around you is doing well. And if that's the case, you know, it's probably going to continue for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of my favorite parts of our segment is the Terry Story Real Estate Survival Guide. And you've got Ask a Real Estate Pro. Draw up a lease even for a family member. This is actually from Gary Singer from the Sun Sentinel. I'll read the question. It says, our nephew is having some financial troubles and needs a place to stay for a few months. We are considering allowing him to move into our vacation home, but we've heard horror stories about similar situations. So what can we do to protect ourselves and still help out our nephew?
Yeah, that's always a touchy one.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing you can do is to treat it like a business transaction. You've got to, I hate to say it, but put something in writing.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things that can go wrong on so many different levels. Not that the nephew would intentionally do damage to the property or, you know, but things happen. There's liability issues as well that have to be taken into consideration. And, you know, what are your thoughts about, you know, them having overnight guests? Are you going to allow that to happen?
Mm-hmm.
The best suggestion is, situation like this is, you know, probably to do a month-to-month lease,
mm-hmm.
so that at any given time you can end it.
But are you really going to come in at the end and evict your relative?
I know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the idea is to set up a series of expectations, to put it down in writing and treat it as much as you can as an arm-length transaction.
It's kind of like lending money to family.
Yeah.
When you lend it, you want it back, but good luck. And go in with the idea you're never going to see it again.
My guest is always Terry Story. Terry is a 26-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01. Or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.